If you need a Bible, please put up your hand and one of our welcome team will bring one over to you. We're going to be reading the whole of Genesis 4 this evening. That's on page 6 of the church Bibles. Genesis 4. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance 7 times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. Lamech married 2 women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, "Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times." Adam lay with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. This is the word of God. Please have your Bibles open at Genesis chapter 4. And let's pray. Father, we need your help to understand your word. Help us to be those who humbly sit under this word, that we might be people who love to listen and obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever wondered why we are like what we are like? Have you ever wondered why we are like what we are like? Let me explain. This week was my birthday. Thanks very much. And my wife, Tricia, had bought me some lovely presents and made me a lovely meal. And it was great, and we had a great time. The very next day, I lost my temper, said something cruel. The next night, my son, whom I love dearly, I was putting him to bed, and I prayed with him, and I kissed him, and bid him good night, and put him in his, and it was great. The fifth time he woke me up that night, I had some pretty awful thoughts of him. Have you ever wondered why we're like what we're like? At one moment, loving and creative and capable of great sacrifice, and at the very next moment, hating, cruel, destructive. The only reliable place to find an answer is in the opening chapters of Genesis. In Genesis 1 to 3, we're told that God made the world, and it was good. And he created humans in his likeness. He created us to have a dependent relationship upon him. Humans lived in the paradise that God had made. But they blew it. Adam and Eve, they chose independence rather than dependence. They chose to sin. They chose to rebel. And God punished them and ejected them from his garden. This is the reason that we are capable of, on the one hand, love and creativity and those kind of acts, and at the very next moment, terrible sin. And every human being lives outside of God's paradise as Adam's descendants, as Adam's children, with this dual identity going on. Like Adam, we are made in the likeness of God. So we love and are fruitful and creative. We're accountable to God. We have that likeness, but like Adam, that image has been marred and defaced. We bear the likeness of God, but because of our sin, our rebellion, we bear the likeness of a disobedient father, Adam. Can anything be done about this dual identity? Living outside of God's paradise as Adam's children, as we are, do we just have to grin and bear it and try our best? Well, no. Look at the very last sentence of Genesis 4 with me. It says, "At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord." Genesis 4 teaches us that help is out there. This problem of sin, this dual identity that battles away, can be answered by calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. That means to trust everything that God has revealed about himself. Help begins and continues for children of Adam as we rely upon and trust in and have faith in the Lord, who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. And Genesis 4 gives us a number of reasons why, as children of Adam, we need to call and keep calling on the name of the Lord. Here's the first one. Our life comes from God. We need to call on the name of the Lord because, as Adam's children, our lives come from God. Look at verse 1 and 2. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. It must have been a frightening experience for Eve to give birth. God had told her in chapter 3 that he was going to greatly increase the pain. And having been there and seen it, it looked pretty sore. There was no midwife to hold Eve's hand and say, "It's all going okay." But God gave her and Adam these children, these lives. And God helped her to deliver the babies. We're being told that even outside of paradise, God is still in control of life. He graciously gives it, he graciously nurtures it, and yes, he even takes it away. In the New Testament, we're told that the Lord Jesus is the creator of all things. He designed us. He knows how we were made. He knows what we were made for. He created us to have a loving, dependent relationship on him. Calling on the name of the Lord is part of what we were created to do. It is part of our DNA, as it were. That also means that the Lord never gets tired of us calling on him and trusting him. It's how he has designed things to work. And as the author of our lives, he knows what is best and right for us. He wants us to call on him. And life comes from God. But also, as Adam's children, we're accountable to God. Look at verse 3. "In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor." You know, this isn't telling us that God prefers shepherds to gardeners. It's not telling us that God likes meat but doesn't like vegetables. It's not saying that. Cain and Abel recognize that as they have a creator, they are accountable to the Lord their God. They answer to him just as their parents had. They recognize that in some way sin is a problem for them. And they make offerings as a consequence of their sin. Why is one accepted and the other rejected? Well, later on in the Bible, in Hebrews 11, we're told that Abel was a man of faith. He was a man who made this offering in faith. If you like, he called on the name of the Lord. He humbly trusted it and said, "Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm bringing this offering." And he trusted that the Lord would accept it. Cain's offering, on the other hand, well, that reflected the attitude of his heart. A gift always says something about our attitude to the person we're giving it to. On my birthday again, Tricia had my gifts, you know, beautifully wrapped in the way, you know, with little bows and these kind of things. Now, imagine she'd just given it to me in a, you know, a bin bag. "Here's your presents." The attitude says it all. The way that she had done it says, "Dougie, I love you." Cain brings some, just some, of the fruits of the soil. He didn't take his accountability to God seriously. He's not coming in faith like Abel. He's not saying, I need you, Lord. Not really. He's just gone through the motions. And we're told that God saw it. In verse 4, he looks down with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain's offering, he didn't look with favor. And that sinful anger starts to burn inside Cain. The Bible assures each of Adam's children, us, that we are accountable to God. That our sin is against him. That it always matters to him. And a casual approach to sin in our lives will always lead to sin escalating and escalating and growing. We need to call on the name of the Lord. We need to call out to the Lord Jesus and ask that he would help us to see how serious our sin really is. That he would help us to see that it matters before him, and we will answer to him for it. We're accountable to God. But we also need to call out to the Lord. We need to call in the name of the Lord, trusting in faith, because sin crouches at our door. Did you notice the end of verse 5? Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Things get quickly out of hand here. Cain was in a red-faced rage, filled with jealousy, and his anger gets the better of him. Cain's jealousy here is as dangerous as a lit match in a dry forest. And it busts. And Cain says to his brother Abel, shall we go for a nice walk in the fields? It's been a while since we've caught up. Deceit. And Abel thinks, well, what a lovely idea. I'll go for a walk with my big brother. And Cain attacks Abel and kills him. The very first baby born into this world is a cold-blooded murderer. It cuts across that idea that says, well, we're all born good, doesn't it? There's no trace of regret or remorse. When God asks him, you know, where's your brother? He tries to cover it up. Now, God had warned Cain really clearly. He said to Cain, if you humbly trust, if you call on my name, if you do what is right, you'll be accepted. But otherwise, sin is possessive. Sin is dangerous. Cain, sin is like a wild animal crouched at your door, ready to pounce, and it longs to have you. Cain's unhappiness and jealousy and anger and deceit lead to murder and a poor attempt to cover it up. You know, sin is a slippery slope. Sin crouches not just at Cain's door, but as children of Adam at all our doors. It never tires. It's always waiting. Its claws are always sharp and its mouth is always drilling, ready to have us. It's why I can be mild-mannered one moment, and then in the next moment, that animal pounces, and I go, rah! And sin is there, and I've opened the door, and it's got me. Sin is always trying to take over. You know, it's why rules to try and control sin will never work. Never work. Sin will always find a way to win. If we don't kill it, then it will definitely kill us. We need to call on the name of the Lord. The only way for sin to be mastered is to trust the Lord Jesus. He was the one who died on the cross to break sin's power. He was the one who died on the cross to defeat sin's authority in the lives of all who trust in him. The only way for sin to be mastered in our hearts is for the master of our heart to be the Lord Jesus. As the sinless Son of God, he doesn't have Adam's problem. He was a real man who lived among real men, but he never committed any sins. Sin never mastered him, but he mastered it. And in his goodness, or to use the Bible word, in his righteousness, he was able to take the punishment sin deserves. Sin will always be a problem, even for followers of Jesus. All of our lives, it will be there. The only way we can fight sin is to call on the name of the Lord, is to keep trusting, is to keep calling day after day, begging for the help of the one who died to break that pattern in our lives. I need to trust the one who rose from the dead. I need to trust the one who rose to prove to me that sin and death has been defeated. So, children of Adam, I need to call out on the name of the Lord because sin is crouching at my door. But it doesn't finish there, you see. We need to call on the name of the Lord because our crimes cannot be hidden. When Cain thought no one was watching, God was watching. Look at verse 9. God says to Cain, the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The best Cain could do was say, "I know. How am I supposed to know where he is?" When Cain thought no one could hear his brother's cry, God heard his cry. Listen to verse 10. The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." As children of Adam, God sees all of our sin. Sins of the mind, sins of the heart, sins of the mouth, sins of our hands, sins of the internet and the television and all our other sins that we think no one else sees. God sees them all. And God hears the pain that our sin causes others. That image of Abel's blood crying out is a powerful one. You know, Abel's blood, Abel's lying dead in the field, and his blood has been pouring out of his body. Yet his blood screams out to the Lord. And it is deafening in his ears. He's screaming out, "Avenge me. Look what Cain has done. Lord, what are you going to do about this?" And the Lord hears. Our sins cannot be hidden. Imagine for a moment that all the sins that I've committed are piled up somewhere. We'll need a bigger building than this one for my sins. But they're all crying out to God. Doogie is guilty of this. Doogie deserves to be punished. Doogie deserves hell. And they would be right. I am guilty. I need to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. The one who, like Abel, was completely innocent, who was a righteous man, and yet was murdered by those jealous of him. In Hebrews 12, we're told that the blood of the Lord Jesus speaks a better word than Abel's blood. As the Lord Jesus is crucified and his blood pours out, it doesn't shout out, "Avenge me." It doesn't shout out, "Punish the guilty." It shouts out, "Forgive, mercy, love." And as I call out on the Lord Jesus and confess my sin and ask for his forgiveness, my sin which had been crying out that Doogie be punished, that Doogie deserves hell, is silenced by the blood of Jesus, which cries out, forgiven. But Cain won't confess. He won't repent. And he shows us that we need to call on the name of the Lord Jesus, because life without God is painful and restless. Cain suffers a sentence for his sin that fits his crime. Look at verse 11. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. This is a heightening of the punishment that was given to Adam and Eve. Cain's life from then on was one of painful struggle. When he tried to grow his crops, nothing grew. He would have no peace wherever he went. And all these things, it's an accurate picture of what it is to try and live life without the Lord Jesus. To try and live life without calling on the name of the Lord. We don't understand why the world is so difficult. Our hearts wander from one thing to another, trying to find peace and rest, trying to find answers. But we cannot find any of these things unless we call on the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is the one who promises us that as we trust in him, he gives us the rest our hearts are looking for. And he stops the restless wandering by bringing us back into relationship with his Father God. You know, if we die without trusting the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that we will be punished for our sins eternally in a place called hell. And the Lord Jesus himself describes that place as a place of pain and a place of no peace, restlessness. We need to call on the name of the Lord. Life without God is painful and restless. But Cain's response in verse 13 reveals to us another reason we need to call on the name of the Lord. And that's because the world is dangerous. Look how Cain responds. My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Cain knows his sentence has overwhelming consequences. He's thinking, well, what's going to be left for me if I'm away from you, God, and the ground won't grow anything for me? I'm going to be easy pickings. He knows that there's a world full of people out there who are like Cain. He knows there's a world full of people out there like us. Now, God graciously says to Cain, you're not going to be easy pickings, in verse 15. God marks Cain so that no one would kill him. God wasn't going to be inaccessible to him. Now, Cain is wrong in his refusal to repent and call on the name of the Lord. But his assessment of our world is right. It is a dangerous place. We read and see all the time in newspapers and on the television and the news about how dangerous our world is. And we're not talking about, you know, psychopaths and career criminals out there. Just the danger of ordinary people like you and me. I remember a friend of mine some years ago now was on his way home one night, and a group of lads, not hardened criminals, just a group of lads. Well, one thing led to another, and they were mouthing off. And one thing led to another, and one of those lads ended up dead. Because ordinary people like you and me have sin crouching at the door, and sin easily masters us. We need to call on the name of the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand. It's not that if we call on the name of the Lord and trust in Jesus, then we'll be automatically safe in this life. That's not a promise the Bible makes. But as we call on the name of the Lord, we find that real safety is found only in Jesus. That no matter what situation we may find ourselves in, He comforts us. And even if our lives are taken, as if we've called on His name, if we are trusting in Him, then we will immediately go to heaven and be with Him, and no place could ever be safer. Now, the rest of the chapter is a history of what happens to Cain's family. Why do these things show us that we need to keep on calling on the name of the Lord? Well, very simply, that's because our children are just like us. The next generations are just like us. Children of Adam with sin crouching at the door. Cain's children are like Adam's children. We see a likeness to God. So we see things like creativity. We read of a man called Jubal who was the father of all who play the harp and the flute. Jabal raises livestock. He subdues creation. We see technology and culture. Tubal-Cain forges all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. But sin is still there. And if anything, it's spreading. It's getting worse. Because another one of Cain's descendants is a man called Lamech. In verse 19, we read that he had two wives. Something that God had said, don't do. And in verse 23, Lamech thinks of himself as some kind of gangster rapper. He boasts. He boasts about how he has killed a man for injuring him. He boasts that, well, if God can avenge Cain, I can do even better than that. Children don't inherit faith in the Lord Jesus from their parents. But sin is passed on. The next generation sin just as we do. And we who have faith in the Lord Jesus need to call in His name that He would graciously make them aware that sin's at the door, that our crimes cannot be hidden, that life without God is painful and restless. We need to call on the Lord Jesus that He would open their eyes. And we who have faith in the Lord Jesus need to keep on telling the next generation about Him that they might be saved themselves. Here are a number of reasons why, as Adam's children, we need to call and keep on calling on the name of the Lord. You know, something struck me this week. This isn't just a description of back then. It's not just a description of what happens outside our doors in Enfield. This is a description of us. We are Adam's children. In this church, in our lives, in our hearts, sin is crouching at my door. I'm much more like Cain than I would like to admit. And thankfully, Genesis 4 ends the way it does. A new life was granted to Eve, a baby called Seth. And it's through Seth's descendants that the Lord Jesus would one day be born. It's through Seth we see how this problem in Genesis 4, all these problems begin and continue to be answered by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. And can I ask, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus tonight, if you've never called on His name, then He would command you to do that for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might not face the punishment that your sins and crimes deserve. And as you call on His name, you will be completely forgiven, and He will give you eternal life. And if you're one of God's people, if you've called on the name of the Lord Jesus. We need to be those who daily, hourly, minutely, secondly, constantly, day after day, month after month, year after year, we need to be those who are calling on the name of the Lord. We need his help. We need his power and his strength to follow him, to keep away from the dangers of Genesis 4. Are we doing that in our lives? Are we calling on his name? Are we trusting? And are we doing that for each other? That at this time, men might begin to call on the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we need to call on you this evening. You give us life. You made us, and yet so often, like Cain, we fall short of what you want, and we disobey you. Father, our lives are open before you. Nothing is hidden. Forgive us when sin crouches at our door and we let it in. Thank you that you have given us the Lord Jesus to call on. Thank you that his blood speaks a better word than Abel's. Thank you that he forgives our sins and brings us rest. Would he help us to fight and master sin this week? Help us to call out for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.